Miss you. I love you. I'm so glad that you're here today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome our older brothers and sisters for visiting in college. We have a whole bunch of them here. Thank you, y'all. I'm always glad to see you guys. Man, such a good time, good time. I see all these faces. It makes me so happy. All right, let's open up with a word of prayer. Let us bow our heads. Let's pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you, God, that you would bring us to this place to worship you today, Lord. I pray that, Father, your Holy Spirit would give us wisdom. Father, that our eyes, our hearts, our minds would be open to your word, Father. That we know that your word has power, Lord, and that, Father, it can transform our lives. So, God, we ask for your presence in us, Father, that your Holy Spirit would edify us, that it would change our hearts. And, Father, as we get back into the basics of just spiritual disciplines, Lord, and starting this new year, Father, help us, Father, to have a good year, that we may experience all the ups and downs, the joys, the sorrows. And, Father, understand, Lord, that it is all for you. May your lessons to us cut us deep into our hearts, Lord, that we may truly understand who you are and our relationship with you. We thank you for your mercies. We love you, Father, for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. So, we're continuing our spiritual discipline series. So now that we got out of the understanding of reading the Bible and how important it is to read the Bible, I mean, you guys all know that. But now we're going to talk about something different. And for some Christians, this may be actually one of the most challenging aspects of their spiritual walk or their spiritual life. I know for myself, it's something I had to work really hard and develop at. But now it's one of the most essential things that I got to do. From the very first things, when my eyes open up, and sometimes even not my eyes open up, my brain is awake, but my eyes are closed. Well, these are the very first words that I say. And even from the very last thing before I say, oh, good night, honey, I love you, to my wife. And then I always say a quick prayer as well. Prayer is one of these things that's the most essential things here. But it's also a challenge. Because it's one thing to read scripture, right? Because once you read scripture, you understand, yeah, man, this is the word of God. There's instant benefits from it, right? There's all kinds of knowledges, all kinds of insights that we can gain from it just by reading the words. And there are many times in scripture when Jesus says, I said this so that you understand this. So, I mean, there's instant gratification there. But praying is a little bit different. We don't get that instant gratification. Prayer is one of those things that truly requires faith. Think about it. We're praying to someone we cannot see. And we're trying to, or expecting or hoping for answers that literally we cannot control. No matter how much we beg, God, please, please, please. And like every other thing that requires faith, prayer runs contrary to what human nature dictates. I can control my own destiny. I got to work hard. And all of these things, I control the outcomes. That's what life says. But oftentimes, prayer is one of these things that we have to have complete trust and complete faith in. And that's why a lot of times it's often difficult to do as far as praying, to say, God, I ask you for these things. Author once said that there was a great tragedy of life. It's not that there was an unanswered prayer, but an unoffered prayer. Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher, said this of prayer. If the spirit of prayer is not with the people, the minister may preach like an angel, but cannot expect success. In a church, there may be great wealth, there may be great talent, there might be great people who can do all kinds of great works, even to do outreach things. But if prayer is not within that church, I guarantee you God's presence is not there. Prayer is the sure evidence of God's presence, right? It literally is the evidence, right, that shows whether or not there's a church of faithful believers. And that's why we come out here every Wednesday. We can say it this way. If God is near a church, then the church must pray. Every day, the church must pray. And let's talk about ourselves this morning. If we're really going to be honest, and if we really have to admit what prayer is, for the most part, most of us would say it's probably an undisciplined area in our lives. At best, it's sporadic. Sometimes, we use it as times of in case of emergency. And oftentimes we pray without any kind of power. Like the prayer we say is, God, help me. And it's like we're just throwing it out and we don't have faith that God is actually going to do what he says he's going to do. This is the truly untapped resources most Christians suffer from. Not being able to call out to God and say, God, I need your help. This is where our strength comes from. The fact that we can pray. Our church makes it a big deal. Whether you're part of the adult group or part of the youth group, we instill prayer as part of this life we want you guys to have. Every believer needs to have this discipline if they want their spiritual lives to grow. And in fact, I would challenge you this way. Not only do you need the Word of God to understand what God wants you to do, you need prayer so that you can be conformed into that image, not just knowing that image. And that's what our text says today. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Once again, that's Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. We'll do like a question and response kind of thing, okay? All right. Very good. And the Bible says, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And verse 4, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Amen, amen. This is the things that we're going to talk about today. Because Paul understood what prayer was and Paul understood the power of prayer. Prayer was undeniably a part of his life. Something I pray would be undeniable part of your life. To be able to pray. You know, this is the challenge of who we are. To really say, God, we need you, we need your help. And to honestly cry out to him. This is what's most important in a growing Christian. To be able to say, God, I trust you. Because if you don't develop that trust in every aspect of your life, in every aspect of life, your God is weak. Your God doesn't have power. See, just as it is important for a man and a woman to be married and to say, I love you, it is the same thing to say it to God through prayer. Here's the thing. If we don't talk and communicate with one another, your fellowship, whether with your wife or whether with God, will lose all of its benefits. Because prayer is that pipeline of communication. It's to be able to talk to God and God be able to talk to your heart. For those who love God and for God to speak to those he loves. That's what the habit of prayer does. The Bible teaches us several things, and I'm going to go through a lot of illustrations today. And I want to share with you guys because you guys got to understand how important prayer is. And I think we've grown in a good relationship now where I can start sharing really deeper stuff because my relationship with God was really shaped through prayers. It really was. How I became a pastor. I never thought it would be, but way back when I was in the CM Children's Ministry, I remember Auntie Leah just praying for me and saying, God will bless you and all these things. And seeing her 30 years later, she's like, oh, I'm a pastor. I'm like, what? Amazing, amazing. But Paul begins by saying this. Devote yourselves to prayer. In the King James Version, it says, continue earnestly praying. In the original language, in the Greek, it says, in the word to continue steadfastly to prayer, to persist, to adhere firmly to or devoted to. Now, remember what I said. Some of the challenges that we face, you know, we're a very unique demographic, right? Because not only are we first generation, you know, Chinese American, ABCs, or, you know, first generation, you know, a lot of us are first generation or 1.5 generation Christians, right? And here's the thing that some of us that we may or may not know is that our parents before us may or may not have Christian fellowship prior to that. So a lot of these things we're going to develop, we're going to have to develop, not just for you guys. What I pray is that this is not just lessons that you're going to learn for yourselves, but this is something you're going to pass on to your children, right? So that your children can grow up as a Christian, so that they can grow up and teach their children how to be Christians, right? This is a challenge that we face. We're on a unique opportunity here. You guys are laying the tracks for the future generations of Christians, right? From your bloodlines. This is incredible blessings that you have. So it is going to be challenging, but I promise you, you develop these habits. You develop, as we studied so far, being able to read the Bible, right? And then now being able to pray prayer, you're going to see the difference, not in only in your lives, but even in your children's lives, in your children's children's lives. And if you're blessed, you get to see it in your children's 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 lives. If you're blessed. I started too late. I don't think that's going to happen. But pray persistently. How many of you guys ever prayed for something that you, oh, God, I need this? I'm not talking about getting good grades, right? God, I didn't study too much the night before, but please. No, not that kind of prayer. Most of you guys don't do that anyway. So not that kind of prayer. I'm talking about prayer that you know that God is putting on your heart and your mind to continue to pray over. Sometimes it's a sin. Sometimes it's a sin where we try to hide and we want to make ourselves look good, right? And we always put our best face forward. But then sometimes God speaks to us in our prayer. And he says, no, that's not right. And we change too. Well, I'm talking about a persistent prayer. Something that God says, you need to pray about this. For some of us, I know this to be true, and I keep mentioning this because I want you guys to start getting in the habit, because I am praying with you guys. But I want to make sure it's with you, not for you. Okay? All these, about 90%, 95% of all prayer requests comes in here, right? It's not like prayer meeting where we pray for, our physical needs and our needs that are right now. The prayer requests I get are really deep, deep, deep stuff. And this is what I mean, because I share this burden too. Okay? Persistent prayer, always praying, saying, God, I need your help, I need your help. God, I need you, I need you. Why? Well, when it comes to our own family members, right? You know, we all want to enjoy the eternity in heaven and all enjoy the blessings and enjoy God's love and just being one together, because we don't want to go to the other place, right? Eternal fire and all these other things and all gnashing of teeth, the way the Bible describes it. We don't want to go there. But the one thing, even in my own family, and this is why I go back to this, is that my baby sister, she's not a Christian. She has all kinds of health issues. In fact, she's still stuck in Singapore because her heart isn't strong enough to come back to the United States. I pray for her every day. There's never a day that goes by where I don't cry out to God on her behalf because she doesn't know salvation. Is there someone in your life? Is there something God calling you to that says, come out and pray? And if it's not for someone else, maybe it's for yourself. I need to know the salvation and the saving grace of Jesus Christ, because this is what all the co-workers, this is what, you know, how can I live with myself leading 60 to 80 some odd of you guys to Jesus Christ? And when even in my own family, I can't do that with my sister, it breaks my heart. And I cry and I pray daily. Help me, Lord. Help me. Lord, my sister needs your saving grace. Some of you guys should be on your knees praying for your moms, your dads, your uncles, your aunties, your cousins, maybe even for yourselves and say, God, I need you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says this way, pray without ceasing. It's not mean being on your knees 24 hours a day. No, this is really being mindful. Because it's easy. It's easy to forget and say it doesn't matter. It's easy because there's times in my life where I want to say, oh, I'm tired of praying for this. She's never going to be the difference anyway. When things get bad and she acts up and mom gets into a fight, who's the first one to hear? It's me. And my heart gets broken. Pray without ceasing. Don't give up. See, if you are a Christian, this is not an option for us. In fact, it is an order from God himself. Jesus said it in a direct command. Luke chapter 11 and Luke chapter 18 both have to deal with persistent prayer. Luke 11, 9 says it this way, that when we are promised, right? This is a promise from God that says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Do you believe these words to be true? Do you believe God says the things that he's going to do? Do you believe those things? See, you guys got to understand, in the original language, these verbs, they're all in the present tense. It's an active voice. In other words, it says, keep on asking. Don't stop. Keep on asking me. Keep on seeking me. Keep on knocking. Jesus says, come to me always. Keep coming to me. Don't stop. Luke 18:1 says it a little bit differently, but he says, now he's telling them about the parable, right? And how they should at all times pray and not lose heart. Not to lose heart. Because it's easy to give up. Human nature says, oh, it's too hard. Especially when it comes to spiritual things. When it's one of the most easiest. God, just keep praying. Because it's not on you. It's on God's faithfulness to us. And you can believe God is faithful. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't be discouraged, even when the answers don't make sense. A lot of people give up on prayer. A lot of people say, man, when I pray, I just feel like I'm just saying out words and I'm in a room with four walls. That joy is gone. When you pray, you are in the presence of God. And you know that you understand that you and him are connected together at that moment. Not just feelings. Oh, I love God. No, no, no. Really, you know that you're in the presence of God. And God says, pray without ceasing. I know about this too. I shared with you guys many times about when I prayed for my wife. You know, I went to the prayer mountain two separate times. First time I prayed and fasted for about 3-4 days. The mean one, the real one, was about 14 days I fasted and prayed. Only drinking water in the prayer mountain. Why? To pray for my wife. You know, I shared with you guys this story. I was overwhelmed. Like, God has a great way of touching me. And I'm sure when you trust him and really say, God, I want to put my life and faith into you, you'll see what God does to you. And you'll be like, wow. Because it took a mission to China to make me realize what I was asking God for. Because, man, sometimes I forget it, that she is this perfect gift to me. She is this perfect. And why is that? Because I prayed, God, I don't want to be alone. I love being in my 30s and running with, you know, high school youth. You know, because I was older, but my body was still good. Now in my 40s, my body don't work. No, but I still love being youth group, but I'm so glad I had my wife because that part of my life was completely missing. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. how she was going to be. I prayed the strength I need her to be. I knew that I was going to be a pastor. There's going to be all these struggles. There's going to be all these things. So my wife has to be really, really strong. If you don't know my wife, don't make her mad. She's really strong. But I realized that she was that perfect gift. I prayed over and over and over again. More so even the promises. You know, you figure, man, we're all godly men and women. We're doing all these things. So in my family, we all, everyone does something in the church. Okay, everyone does. But my brother is the last. My brother and I were the last of the least, and we had all these promises. I'm telling you this story because it leads to my second point about praying passionately. I had the promise of my son, and you know, I'm the chosen one because I actually got a boy. So I, my mom and dad, oh, good boy. You did good job. I said, no, it's my wife. I didn't do nothing. Anyway. So we had my son. I'm going to tell you this story. I'm still rocked to the core when I, trusting God. Praying passionately, trusting God. So when Keone was about 18 months old, he was walking around. He was already talking and just being a troublemaker. Just young, rambunctious, right? He's full of energy. Well, I was golfing one day, and then Connie was pregnant with Kyla, and Keone was fooling around. It was a handful, and he climbed up a bar stool. Okay, they were at their friend's house. He climbed a bar stool. He got to the very top of the seat before it fell down. He fell down. He hit his head. He had a concussion. Instantly, he had started suffering from seizures. One of the most extreme side effects of concussions is seizures. Praying passionately and trusting God. Okay? You know, when you see someone suffering from a seizure, you literally can't do anything to them. This little boy like this big. I came to the emergency room because I was golfing. Well, as soon as I got there, I saw him seizing. And he started seizing, and his jaw locked up, and his diaphragm, and he wasn't breathing. His body started turning purple. And I was praying, God, this is your promise to me. You promised me my son, and how can you take him away from me like this? I literally thought he was going to die right then and there. All these medics started coming in, and they said, you got to get out of here, Mr. Lee. You got to move so we can do our job. Praying to God, I need you. This is the promise you gave me. This is the promise of my wife. This is everything in fulfillment. You're not going to take this from me, are you, God? To trust God. You know how hard it is when you love someone so much and love something so much and you can't do anything and you see them suffering. Praying passionately, I went down on my knees. I grabbed everyone on me and said, let's get down in here. Let's pray together right now. Our call went out throughout the world. My brother went to China and all his connections. I don't know why I'm so emotional. Because I have him now. I love him so much. He's still here today. Now, he had to have been on some powerful anti-seizure meds for a bit. It took even longer to wean him off because, you know, the side effects is actually it causes seizures if you don't wean him off slowly. Praying passionately. If you're persistent at something, you're going to be passionate about it. And that's what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying that we should be vigilant. We should be watchful. Let's not be lazy. This is what passionate prayer is. Jesus had that passionate prayer. Luke 3:1, at his baptism, as he was praying, the heavens responded by opening up and a dove came down with the Holy Spirit. That can be your experience too, to understand that kind of prayer and to say, wow, I'm really connected to God right now. Like, I see what he sees. I understand what he understands. He's letting me see these things through his Spirit. Luke 6:12, when he called his disciples, he spent the whole night in prayer. If we pray, God will shine his light on us and give us illumination. It'll give our paths light. Luke 9:29, at his transfiguration, while he was appearing, his face became different. His clothing became white and gleaming. Passionate prayer brings heaven upon us. We see the glory of the Father. John 17, he prayed for all those who would follow him, that he would be kept, that we would be kept from the evil one and be sanctified through his word. Passionate prayer expresses our deepest desires of our hearts. And more importantly, it reveals our love for other people. Why do I take this thing prayer seriously? Why do I ask you to come and write down your prayer requests? Because I take these things seriously. I want you guys to know that I love you. That I want you guys to grow in Christ. And my what I do on a day by day is not wasted time, because I value it. I value you guys. You know, some of the greatest signs, if you ever come here on Wednesday and pray with me on Wednesday, you know the difference of what real powerful prayer is, I think. Because you guys are going to be witnessing to it and you guys are going to be a part of it. It allows us to understand God's love. Our love for each other. And when we can say, God, I love my brother and I want to pray for him and he needs your help. How much joy is that going to be? You know, I have two little ones and they're always at each other's neck. But every once in a while, my son will do something that shows that he's a good older brother. Like, gives her some food. And I'm like, oh. It does reveal your heart. In the Garden of Gethsemane, another form of prayer. The Bible says that being in agony, praying so hard because of the trial that he's about to face, Jesus prays so hard that literally, it gets into his sweat and he's literally perspiring blood. Why does this matter? Because when you pray passionately, you're not going to lie to God. You're not going to tell him the things you think he wants to hear. You're going to tell him the truth about what's really going on. What's going on in your heart? What's going on in your mind? Especially in the midst of the most hardest of circumstances. Really? God, I need your help. And I told you, you want to experience God? You want to know that God is real and God really loves you? Pray in those circumstances. Don't lean on your own understanding, right? Don't just do it by yourself and your own skills. But pray, God, give it to me. Help me, Lord, because your word promises it. Now, I'm not talking about greedy things, right? Like, oh, lots of money. No, no, no. Oh, lots of wealth, lots of faith. No, 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 no. I'm talking about real stuff, right? God, my brother is sick. Pray for them. You know, Auntie Danyang is gone this Sunday. And she'll be gone for a few more weeks. And I pray that all of us will be praying for her as her father is sick in China. These are the things and these are the opportunities that we can lift up to God. Prayer is powerful. Don't use it and don't think of it as something cheap or something weak. It's that connection point. It gives us that strength. It gives us the hope. It lets God speak to us. Never lose passion with your walk with God, my brothers and sisters. And if you want to know if you're losing passion for God, watch how you pray. Your prayer is, oh God, thank you, I'm alive. Or, right? And that's a good prayer. That's a great, great prayer. But I can tell you right now that there's something missing in your walk with God. But if your prayer is, God, I want to thank you for the stars in the sky because, you know, or the I just watched this thing on atmosphere on Nat Geo. So I was like, wow, God, you're so much over amazing, you know, about our atmosphere and how everything holds together. And anyway, sorry. But really to say, God, thank you for even creation. Like, you understand where your heart is by the way you pray. I can tell some of your maturity, right, and where you are with your walk with God. Because there's nothing wrong with asking God, I need help with tests, because that's actually what God says. Come to me for all your needs, all your supplications. But God wants us to pray for bigger things too. There's nothing wrong with saying, God, I need these personal things, but to say, God, there's something bigger and something more important. That's what it's all about. James 5:16 says it, that the effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. The question is, do you trust God in praying to him? Because the truth is, if we're going to be disciples of Jesus Christ, yes, we have to take up our cross and follow him, but that requires prayer. Because I tell you this, none of you guys came to faith without prayer. None of you guys even heard of Jesus Christ unless someone prayed for that opportunity. I can guarantee it. That's why everyone, when we go on missions, that's why we pray for the people over there. We pray for us and all the different ministry opportunities. Because even our own selves, we have to recognize that we are products of prayer. And those of you guys that I got to baptize, believe that. I've been praying for you nonstop ever since. You can accomplish much with prayer. We must pray persistently. We must pray passionately. And third, this is a four-point sermon because I'm following scripture. But pray gratefully. Pray with thanksgiving. Constant theme always, right, in the Bible. Pray with gratitude. Pray with gratitude. Ephesians 5:20 tells us to give us thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6 says it, do not be anxious in anything, but in everything we should pray and give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, tells us to give thanksgiving in all times, for God will, this is God's will in Jesus Christ for us. Colossians 3:17 says that every believer that everything we say or do should be done in the name of the Lord as we give thanks to him. See, you see all of these, this thanksgiving leads to different aspects of our walk with God, our peace with God, not to be anxious. Man, I'm always anxious. I have two young ones. I'm always anxious. We are to give thanks. Because expressing gratitude does a few things. The first one it says it does is articulates our dependence to God. It tells us who God is. When we say, God, we need you, we know who God is. We don't make ourselves to be God. We understand our desperateness. And we understand his providence. If I told you guys what that word was, fancy word for God's will, providence. That we are part of God's will. Isn't that great that you're part of God's plan? More importantly, his presence in your life. We say thank you, God, for our physical needs. Because expressing gratitude generates humility in us. It reminds us where our help comes from. That literally we're helpless without God. Expressing gratitude demonstrates we have a relationship with him. We know that he is the Father and that we are his children. Why do your moms and dads give you good things? Why? Well, they love you, one, right? But it's to say, I will take care of you. You don't have to worry anymore. I will cover you. I will protect you. Isn't that what moms and dads do? Now, as we get older, it looks a little bit different. We may go into finances and education and all these things, but the heart of it never changed. I love you. I won't let anything harm you. I want to protect you and keep you. That's what gratitude says. That's why when my son says, "Thank you, Daddy!" Right? Well, actually, it's not my son. It's my daughter. She has this way of just, "Oh, you're so cute." Anyway, you know, she has this way of doing it. But that tells me that she understands Daddy loves me and I can trust Daddy. You know, as a father, I mean, you guys will understand when you guys get your own children, but or maybe you guys can understand this from the youth perspective. Don't you want to be loved, to be safe, to have good things, and to know that you can count on people? Man, I love that about my mom and dad. Everything we do, we say thank you to God. 1 Timothy 4:4 says that food and marriage are good things given to us by God, and that it should be also received with thanksgiving and gratitude. All the main desires in life God gives us. And that's what expressing gratitude does. When we pray with persistence and with passion, it enables us to understand our gratitude towards God. It makes us understand, man, God really, really, really loves me. I want you guys to have that feeling always, to understand, man, how much God loves me. His one and only son, that he would die for us so that we can have relationship with him. And even on just that one fact alone, isn't that more than enough to say thank you to God for? Pray with gratitude. And the last thing, and my last point, pray selflessly. We are ordered to pray for others. See, Jesus has always been the model, always, even in prayer. You know, the Bible teaches us that in heaven, God is before, Jesus is before God in heaven, and he's interceding on our behalf. Our prayers are going through him so that it can be received by God the Father. We ought to pray for others. This is the most basic thing about prayer. It's praying for God's will. It's praying for God's will to be done not only in our lives, but in the lives of other people. That's what's so hard about prayer too sometimes. Because in reality, we want to be selfish. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. Father, do this for me. God, do that for me. But let's read the prayers of Jesus. Intercessory prayer, Isaiah 53:12. He himself bore the sins of many and interceded for the transgressors. Luke 22:23. Jesus tells Peter, I have prayed for you that you may have faith, that your faith may not fail. Luke 23:34. On the cross, Jesus was praying for the others when he said, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they are doing. Even at the act of crucifixion, he's praying for them. Forgive them. Jesus prays in John 14 for the Holy Spirit to intercede for all those believers who comes after him. John 17, Jesus prayed for the church, the high priestly prayer. And he says, I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but for those you have given to me. Jesus is praying for each and every one of you guys. You better believe that. Romans 8:34, Jesus seated at the right hand, making intercessions for us. Hebrews 7:25, hence, also, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus prayed for others. That's understanding the power of prayer, my brothers and sisters. That's what Paul is teaching us right now in the Colossian church. Because he understands that we are called to pray. And that we're called for specific purpose in prayer. And in fact, at this moment, what Paul is doing, he's asking them to pray for him. You guys got to understand, he's not asking God, oh, by the way, guys, I'm in Rome right now and I'm in jail. can you pray that, you know, that I get out of jail? He's not praying any of those prayers. This is what he's praying. That I may preach the gospel, uncompromised. Everything that I live for, everything that God, that since the road to Damascus, when he met Jesus, everything from that point on came to the head. And even though he was in prison, his one request was, pray for me that I may preach the gospel. You understand what's going on here? Having a prayerful life, having these kinds of things will not make your circumstances get better or worse. No, what it does is gets you to focus on what God's will is. Because I'm sure jail ain't cool. In first century Rome, I'm sure it really isn't cool. And I tell you what, a lot of these things that he was thinking, a lot of the things, you know, people were worried about him. Oh, you know, Paul, you're going to be okay. They're trying to send him food and all. No. Don't give me those things. Not material, not substance, no. Pray that I preach the gospel. That's the reality of this discipleship, this discipline, this spiritual discipline. Prayer is never a selfish thing. Prayer allows us to understand God's purpose. It makes us think like Jesus thinks. Prayer always has meaning. We don't just throw words up to God. In fact, Paul warns against, don't be like the pagans just saying all these random words. No, be intentional with everything you say so that we can conform to Jesus. John 20:21 says it this way. Jesus says, as his Father sent me, I also send you. Our purpose in spiritual growth is not to enjoy only a personal relationship with God, which is important. But there's also all these other benefits as well. Because when we embody that great commission, we understand God's love for us. And because of that love, we can love others. That is the ultimate expression of having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That you can care for someone else. Paul wasn't asking for help because of his legal status. He didn't say, oh, pray for me, let me get out of jail. No. He's praying, pray for me that I may lead someone else to Jesus Christ. Prayer helps us to focus on kingdom work so that God can accomplish the things that he needs to accomplish. Paul was always concerned with doing the will of God. And in fact, his prayers and the way he talked to other people asked him to help him to always be in that eternal kingdom work. Let me ask you this. If you were to write down all of your prayers that you pray to God, what it would look like? How much time is spent in your prayers praying for all the different things? Do you pray for peace, world peace, family, health, wealth? Do you pray for loved ones? Do you pray for the lost who are heading to hell? This is what prayer does. All of these things are all coming out through prayer, and we understand what God calls us to do. It makes us stronger and better Christians. You cannot be a Christian and not pray. You cannot. You came through faith, through prayer. In fact, we pray, God, forgive me of my sins, right? Lord, let me turn away and I will follow you. That's all done in prayer. So if there's anything you leave with these three things, okay? This is the payoff, now the application here. As you pray, I want you to examine your heart attitude. Okay? Examine your heart. Because prayer is fellowship with God. It's a direct reflection of our relationship with him. It always involves our heart and our attitude. if you are in love with someone, right, you will reflect that love. And that's what prayer does. It reflects our hearts towards Him. It is outpouring of our heart, what's in it, and saying, God, I give these things to you because I trust, God, that you will do these things, right? Because He's faithful. We just read, knock, you shall seek. So I would say it this way. Trust God. Now, He won't give you $1 million. He won't. Maybe some of us. But you say, God, give me $1 million. Probably not. I'm not talking about that. What I mean by trusting God is trusting God with your faith, your spiritual walk, knowing that you are right with Him, knowing that as you go through the ups and downs in life, it's okay. It's okay because all of these things are going to reveal who God is to you and your relationship with Him. Examine your heart. Next point, measure your words. Prayer begins on our hearts, but it always goes from our hearts to our lips. And that's what the psalmist says in Psalm 19. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. God always hears what we say, every word, even those words that we, oh man, I didn't say that to God. Be careful what we say to God. Always listening, and He will hold you accountable for every word you say. I promise you that. There are times in my prayer I was praying and then God just gives me this thought of, or this one, you know, episode or something that happened, and I was like, oh, that's what you mean, God. And He reveals these things to you. Every word He'll hold you accountable to. Every feeling, every thought, those good, those bad, everything. Spoken or unspoken in prayer. Be mindful of your words. And last but not least, give everything to God. Let me ask you this. How can you expect God to take you seriously if at the very least you're not willing to participate with Him in His prayer? Think about it this way. When was the last time you prayed for the lost? When was the last time you prayed that you would be able to share your faith with someone? Like I said, none of us came to faith without someone praying for us. Think about it this way too. Can you honestly pray, God, 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 I have all these needs. God, oh my goodness, I have this material. I have these, you know, educational. I have all these needs. God, help me, help me, help me. If you're not willing to be do the things that God entrusted you to do, you're saying, God, do your work, but I'm not going to do mine. Give everything to God. Don't hold anything back. If you want an effective prayer life, you must be sold out for God. You really want to hear God's response to you? Don't have a plan B or a plan C. Say, God, I need to hear from you first. And this goes for everything in your lives, whether your education, whether school projects, whatever, bring it before God. Because literally God's involvement in that is part of that answered prayer. That He will never leave us, that He'll never forsake us. Even in the most challenging things in life. I'm not talking about tests. I'm talking about death of a loved one. Right? I'm talking about loss of a job. I'm talking about divorce. Or loss of a sibling. Oh, God forbid any of these things happen. But you want to have this security or this love that you want to know that no matter through thick and thin, you're always going to be supported. Pray. God will love you and you will see how much He does. So what does your prayerful life look like this morning? Are there persistent prayers that God says, you need to pray? You need to pray. Because I bet you each and every one of us has. Are your prayers passionate? Do they have power? Or are you just saying words just to say words? Are they intense? Do they have fervor? Or are they timid and lacking faith? I've been told many times, Pastor Howard, why do you sound so loud when you pray? I said, I'm praying on God's behalf. I have confidence. Is there anyone in your life that needs to be saved, that you need to pray for? Or even yet, you guys hear in the announcements every week, I ask, we need help. Is there a burden in your heart for kingdom work here, for your life to expand in, to see His will done in your life? Right? Because there's still a lot of ministry opportunity. Examine your heart, measure your words, and give it all you got. Think of it, this one last thought, and then I'll close. What would really happen in your lives if you really tapped into that power of God in prayer? If you really became a disciplined prayer warrior? If we're really in the habit of praying for eternal things that have eternal consequences versus the temporal, the things that are here today and gone tomorrow, how much time do you dedicate in prayer? You know, I shared with everyone on Wednesday prayer night, prayer meeting. You know what was awesome about Wednesday? I got to meet about 3.5 hours with Pastor Balix. And of that 3.5 hours that we pray, we had the meeting, we prayed for about 45 minutes. Wow. You want a powerful prayer? Go pray with Pastor Balix. You want to be encouraged? You want to have strength? Go pray with him. Because here's the thing. It's not that our prayer makes God move, no. But what our prayer does is make us understand what God's will is for our group, CCIC Tri-Valley, because the brothers to your left and right are those who are going to be with you. Pray. Pray for them. Pray for yourself. Pray that our hearts would be cleansed and our attitudes would become more like Jesus. And that's what prayer is, why prayer is needed and why it's really worth it. Prayer gets us to hear God's heart. Will you pray with me? Gracious Lord in heaven, we thank you for your love and your mercy that was poured out, Lord. That, Father, through these spiritual disciplines, as we study in your word, Father, that our minds not only can be renewed, but, Father, that we can get back to your heart. Lord, as we start this new year, Father, help us to really mold us and shape us and break us into the men and women you call us to be. Father, that we would have this long prayer, Father, or persistent prayer, Father, of just seeing your will be done in our lives and in the lives of those who are around us, Lord. That we would be able to be passionate about the things that we do. That we can cry, Abba, Father, and have complete trust as a loving Father that you are faithful to care for us. Father, that you would give us strength and hope, Lord. That you would give us wisdom. That we would have the right heart. We would have the right words. And that we would be fully committed to you. Because that's what we know what prayer does. Father, we just pray, Lord, that as we come to you in prayer, we value this time that we can communicate with you. That the words that we read in your scripture, Lord, that it would come alive as we pray. Father, that the spirit that you give us as we interact with one another, as we deal with each other's lives and just be transparent with one another, Father, that we would be able to instill passion and love through prayer. God, we thank you for all our brothers and sisters here, Lord. And Father, that I pray that you would give us the heart help us to remember, Lord, that prayer is the second most important thing in spiritual discipline. We thank you for your mercies and love. We thank you for your grace. We love you, Father, for all these things in Jesus' name.